Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on the Happy Cast. The Happy Cast, of course, is your number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. I am Brian. Joining me is a gentleman with the third largest Mr. Potato Head collection in North America, Ben.
Hello. Guess how many I have?
Seven.
That really? Third largest would be seven?
who owns more than one Mr. Potato Head, really?
People who are collecting them.
Okay, fair enough.
How many do you own? Zero.
Oh, I? Really? None? Not even a Potato Head?
That's still the seventh largest. At zero.
I have one then, so I guess I have more than you.
Oh, you must be the sixth largest.
Yes, I am. Mine looks like Darth Vader.
Or maybe you're saying of all the people who collect potato heads, I am the seventh fattest.
Or tallest, to be fair.
Well, largest, I usually don't think of tall. I guess you can.
When I think large, I think height, like vertical height.
Where do you get large drinks from? Maybe that's what it depends on.
Oh, yes, like Starbucks. You get the large, which is a,
Venti?
Grande? I've never actually gone into a Starbucks. Am I missing out on things? Should I do that?
I know. We don't. We go to one that's slightly more local.
Oh, you go to the locally owned free range coffee.
Oh, God, no. I don't know how local it is, but I had never heard of it before. And I hear about Starbucks all the time.
So is it a chain?
I think it's like a mini chain. I'm not sure. Looking it up.
It's just like a mini chain.
It's not the first result on the Googles. So I guess it's a mini chain.
Oh. Yeah. What's it called? If I'm ever in a Topeka, Arkansas, where you live.
Exactly. Sweet Bay.
Sweet Bay Coffee and Scones.
There are four. Three of them are in Fort Smith.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, Topeka.
It's a very local chain. That's good. They, you get a coffee, you get a baked good, a muffin.
You can.
Own.
You can, yeah. It's good.
A panini.
I don't really go in usually. We usually drive through and order something.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's good, though.
Just drink more coffee. Well,
I don't like coffee.
Welcome back, listener. I forgot you were there.
Oh, it's the third person we can't see?
Yes, it's the third person that only you and I can see.
Oh, yeah, we can see.
Or maybe we can't.
We can see
it's
you.
It's been entirely too long. I forgot the premise of this podcast, but happy hour. It's happy hour again. All right, everybody. Welcome to the happy hour portion of the program. It's where we each pick something that we're happy about and share it with you, the listener. It's kind of like when you're at Thanksgiving and you go around the table and everybody's like, hey, say a thing you're happy or thankful for. It's like, okay, Uncle Nick. And he's like, I'm thankful for local sports team. And everybody's like, oh, Uncle Nick, that's so you. And then your mom's always like, I'm just so glad that the family could get together and I'm so blessed to be loved by so many. You know, we've all had that experience, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. But yes, Ben, sorry for that weird tangent. What is happy hour pick?
Oh, crap. Yeah, wait. Have I already used Velveeta shells and cheese?
I know you've said macaroni and cheese.
This is different, though.
I don't know if we really dug into the different genres of pasta and cheese sauce.
I've grown past macaroni and cheese. I'm too good for it. I'll still eat it if it's around. But
That is for children.
My noodle and dairy product mix is now Velveeta shells and cheese, specifically the white cheese, or I guess queso blanco, I think is what it says, or with bacon.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Is what I'm told.
Oh, it is so good. Sometime I want to see if we can get the bacon with the queso blanco one instead.
Whoa, slow down, slow down.
The bacon's in a separate pack. It's really good. Like, one box is like $1.98, which is not bad for a single meal, better than eating out. Which is like one meal for like $8 or something, depending on where you go. But, so, it's not bad price. It fills me up very well. And it is freaking delicious. I don't even know what else to say about it. Bacon and cheese is amazing. The white cheese one is amazing. They're both amazing. And cheese and bacon and amazing.
Question, sir. The bacon and cheese. How does that come? Is it just a box of pasta with raw strips of bacon in it, or
you just flop the bacon on top afterwards?
Just throw some raw bacon on it.
Bacon bits.
It's bacon bits. So I guess ideally, if you're talking about, you know, crossing, like doing some kind of freestyle macaroni nonsense, you could buy are you talking about buying the queso blanco and then just buying bacon bits separately?
By the way, I want that to be my band name. The macaroni thing you said.
Freestyle
macaroni.
Oh, that's a term that I've been trying to establish for a very long time now.
Really?
Freestyle macaroni. We've had freestyle macaroni for dinner where I live currently.
What makes it freestyle?
Well, it's freestyle in that somebody didn't adequately prepare for a meal, and shopping is underdone. So it's just a pasta dish with random stuff thrown into it.
Gummy worms.
We've got macaroni. We've got cheese. We've got ground beef. We've got some peas. I threw some potato wedges in there.
Those first two lines rhymed.
Or did they? It was completely incidental.
Yeah, cheese, and then you got to peas. I thought you were doing it on purpose, and you were turning it into a rap.
I was going off the dome. My freestyle macaroni rap.
Under the dome. Should I change my happy hour?
You know, it's shockingly similar, and I'm not going to lie. You've come under fire before for having happy hours that are too similar to each other.
There are only so many foods in the world,
Ben,
that I like.
You can't have gummy worms as your happy hour 1 week and then gummy bears the next week.
But they're entirely different, the shape and the texture. Okay, all right. Bates Motel.
Vancouver. Oh, the local business that you stay at once a week?
Yeah, once a week I go to a local hotel and spend the night there instead.
I'm not going to pry. I don't want to know why you do it, but it's established that it's a little personality quirk.
Yes, but yeah, no. The Bates Motel is to die for. Ha ha ha. No. It's a TV show by Carlton Cuse of Lost, executive producer he is of that show that I am talking about. I need to work on my English skills.
Continue, please. Let's continue the segment of Yoda Explains TV to the listener.
I'm not doing a Yoda impression because I am hungry. Okay, Bates Motel, it's a prequel TV show reboot to the Alfred Hitchcock movie Psycho, because they didn't want to make it a period piece, kind of like that show about angry people, angry guys.
Mad Men.
It takes place modern day, but it's still a prequel. You don't have to watch the movie first to understand it, because chances are you already know basically what the movie's about enough to get it.
I watched the pilot of this, and I thought I knew what the movie was about until I read the Wikipedia summary afterwards. I was like, oh, no, I did not.
Well, then I might be wrong, too.
I thought someone got stabbed in a shower.
That happened. That was it. Scene.
That's all I knew.
Would it be a spoiler to talk about what happens in Psycho?
I don't know. I thought you would assume that it's public knowledge at this point, but I'll let you know. I didn't know, and then once I read the summary on Wikipedia, I felt far less compelled to watch more Bates Motel. I'm like, oh, okay, I know where this is going.
But that's not what the point isn't about where it ends. the point is just the journey along the way and how he got there. And I don't know. I wonder if the finale, I don't think it'll be that. As far as I know from the movie, because I haven't seen it in maybe ever, I might have seen clips here and there. I know he's like multiple personality disorder, and he dresses up like his mom who is dead.
Yes.
That is about all that matters.
Yeah, who he killed.
Yes, yeah. But that is not relevant in the TV show because his mom is very much alive. So it's not a spoiler for the TV show. It's just everyone knows that's where it's going to get to.
But is the movie canonical in the world of the show?
It is
show?
Not.
Are they going to pull bait and switch?
Carlton Cuse, I think, on his Twitter said that the movie and the show are not canonical with each other. So they can change things up. But I think it's interesting. And it's interesting seeing how things are going. And it's not just about, like, you know, him going crazy and stuff. The show actually just ends about, like, the whole town, like, everyone has a secret, and there's, like, darkness, and everyone's plot problems and plots all get mixed up in each other's, but the pieces are the main ones.
I got, when I watched it, listening to you talk about it now, I got a distinctly Twin Peaks vibe from it. Is that accurate?
It's Twin Peaks, but a lot more coherent.
Oh, man, but the incoherency is my favorite part of Twin Peaks.
Well, it's still good. It makes me think of a Stephen King novel, too, because small town, everyone has a dark secret.
With a small town writer from New England.
There are no writers yet, but that happens in a lot of Stephen King novels. A lot of them. Even though I can only name like two off the top of my head right away to you, it happens a lot.
I would say Misery.
Misery. He becomes a writer in 1122, the year that JFK got shot. Which is
The Shining.
The
Shining.
The Dark Half happens in that. Lots of things.
I recently watched The Shining, but I'll talk about that later.
Oh, also with Bates Motel, we've been watching it. And, all right, we used to try to get these, like, cookies that were called, like, Ultimates or something, which give you big cookies. But the nearby grocery store doesn't have that, so we figured out we'll buy the one that's the same company, but the one below that, and just double them up.
Huh.
We set two little squares next to each other, and they just form into one big cookie, and we get the same number of big cookies.
For the same price, or less, or more?
I think it's actually less. But we get giant cookies still.
Is the brand... Edamons. Is it Edamons?
I don't even know that brand. Oh. The brand is Yellow Package.
They make a great black and white cookie.
We talked about that before. I don't remember if I've had one or not.
Black and white cookies are great.
Bachelor party.
Yeah, we can have some black and white cookies.
Black and white cookies.
Black and white cookies all day, every day.
Every day you're here, just eating black and white cookies.
We'll also watch the Tom Hanks classic film, Bachelor Party.
Is that real?
It is a thing that he was in the 80s. I've never seen it, but I'm assuming it is terrible.
I've never seen The Hangover.
You can assume that it's terrible.
The Hangover or the Bachelor Party?
Not both. Or just Bachelor Parties in general is a general rule of thumb. Bachelor Parties, conceptually, I don't know where that started, but conceptually it feels like a flawed premise.
One last night to hang out with your bros.
Before your life is over after tomorrow, right, bro?
Oh, yeah. Wedding jokes again, or marriage jokes.
I don't... See, a bachelor party seems like the side effect of someone just not... Either somebody will have a bachelor party out of a sense of tradition or obligation, which I'm going to assume is you.
Yep. Well, also an excuse to hang out with some guy friends.
Or maybe it seems like something that somebody who's really unhappy and doesn't want to get married would do. Like, I just want to go hang out with my friends and drink all the beer.
And then see strip club ladies.
See some ladies of the night. Is that the right terminology?
Is that the people who, like, work at Walmart in the midnight shift?
Yes, that's what they call themselves.
Ladies and gentlemen of the night.
But do not call them that. It's, as an outsider, it would be very offensive for you to say that.
When you go up to the cashier, welcome, lady of the night. Please check out my items.
I would like to leave. Actually, I don't know about you, but if I went to a local Walmart after, say, 11 p.m., we would have nothing but self-checkout registers.
Really?
Yep, and one person monitoring the whole situation.
The one that we go to whenever we go, because with Megan's schedule and all, we're up at weird hours. So on weekends, if we go shopping, it's always really late, like somewhere between 2 and 7 a.m. And we go, like the only one that's open is the cigarette register.
Huh. So you buy cigarettes because why not? They're right there.
Well, no. No.
Some
no.
Blues and some reds. And some ones with the stripes, and some tall ones, and some Mentos.
Mentos?
That's the kind of cigarette, right? A Mentos?
That's menthol.
Right.
Because that stuff is also in cough medicine. Not cough drops.
Coffee.
I think it numbs your throat or something based on the cough drop version.
Oh, weird.
I don't know. I'm just assuming. I have no clue. Write in and let us know. Photoshop challenge.
Tell us what menthol is.
Oh, what's your happy hour, though?
Oh, right. It's been a while since we've done this. What would it be? It'd be chess, maybe. Chess is the best game.
That's a board game, right?
It's a board game. It's let me tell you about chess. So the objective of the game is to capture the other player's king.
Is it like backgammon?
It's a better game than backgammon.
Thank you. All right.
I don't know. I think that was just for us.
But... I was hoping you would say that, though.
But who's to say that this whole charade is for anyone but us? But that specifically, I don't know. If you enjoyed that, write in, please. I would like to know. Photoshop challenge.
Photoshop challenge. Photoshop us chess. As Michael, not Michael, as Walt and Locke, talking about chess.
And you know who gets to be Locke?
Me.
It's what? Okay, yeah, exactly. You capture the other player's king, but wait, there's a twist. No, actually, I like chess a lot, but I don't know if that's going to be my happy hour. There's the time that a girl at a grocery store said, "Preach" to me as a token of appreciation, which I thought was delightful. Her busy go-go lifestyle, she couldn't say the whole word, but she still felt a need to express to me that she appreciated my help. But, she just, shortened it, because why waste, an entire word or more than a syllable to express gratitude to a fellow human being with feelings?
I didn't know that was a thing. Apparently swag is a thing, like more than it used to be.
Swag is on the rise.
Apparently, I've heard that between teenagers on Facebook right now, there is some kind of like war between swag and class, and neither one of them are particularly swaggy or, well, I guess swaggy. I guess they're swaggy, but neither one is classy, is what I've heard.
How do you say swaggy? I makes me conjure up a thought of a pirate ship.
Me too. That's the first thing I thought. I thought of Jack Sparrow for some reason.
Very swaggy.
He's not a pirate or anything.
But, yeah, no, that's dumb. I don't know. I am going to just really take a moment to breathe in and appreciate this rite of passage. As I say, kids are dumb. Oh, that feels so good.
Oh, it's true. Sorry, kids who are listening. All of you.
No kids listen to this.
No.
Our youngest listener is 42 years old.
Our youngest?
Yes.
So my sister is 42.
I hate to tell you this, man, but your sister is a Highlander, and she is actually 219 years old.
Oh, God. I never knew.
There could only be one.
Highlander?
I really, if I could do it again, I would like to say there could only be one in some kind of actual context, and not just as a thing I feel obligated to say, but...
We'll fit it in somewhere else.
Yes.
In, like, about the popes.
Yeah, the Pope and the Black Smoke Rises, because there can only be...
Two now.
Oh, sorry, I fell asleep halfway through that one.
But we have two popes.
Do we?
The other pope plans to go back and live in the Vatican.
Hey, he's not my pope. I didn't vote for him.
It didn't count for me either. I'm not Catholic, so...
And sincerely... regretful.
The majority of everyone did not vote for the pope. Just like however many of those birds are in there. So what was your NPR?
I repent for the pope crack. Nope. We're going to keep going.
Okay.
My happy hour is any occasion in which it is appropriate for me to put on a tie. Ties look good. Ties are cool. Also, sometimes I'll wear a tie when it's not called for. Overdressing for an occasion. That's my happy hour.
Are you going to overdress for the wedding?
Well, your wedding seems very formal. So, if anything, I'm afraid I might be a little bit underdressed, but I'm sure you guys are actually going to be very specific about what I can and cannot wear.
Oh, yeah, probably.
For your wedding. I was hoping, like, the orange tuxedo from Dumb and Dumber. Is that cool?
Oh, it depends if Megan lets me go through with what I want to go with through. But I probably shouldn't talk about that till I get to wedding casters.
Yes, we will get to that in due time.
But ties.
Ties are cool. I'm going, in fact, overdressing for an occasion. I am going to a dear friend's wedding this Saturday, May the 4th.
Be with you.
And I asked him, I said, what's the dress protocol? How are people going to be looking at your wedding? Is it like a kind of formal affair, or is it going to be super cash?
Did you say cash?
He said, don't never say cash again. And I said,
that's a good Bond movie.
Yeah, it's a great Bond movie. You only say cash once, and then you realize it sounds incredibly stupid. But he said, it's not going to be formal. People are just going to, maybe wear a shirt with a collar on it, maybe. I don't know. Blue jeans, perhaps. And I said, would you be offended if I showed up wearing a suit and tie? And he said, well, no, that's fine. You can do that.
I guess.
So I'm going to do it. That way, I'm going to show up and people are going to think that I am getting married. But in fact, I'm just a pedestrian, a well-wisher. A viewer
of life,
and then I got several weddings to go to this year, so I'll have plenty of opportunity to overdress for many occasions.
Which one is ours? Your third one, fourth one?
Yours is actually the second.
Oh wow!
Yep,
you have a nice wedding gap here.
Yeah, this is a good gap, and then you. And I've got, I think, two to go to in October.
Oh, wow. You will be a little bit busy.
A little bit. Actually, this one I'm just a observer. And then on one, I'm going to be a best man.
Which one's that?
It's yours.
Oh, okay.
And on another, my cousin is getting married. And he asked me to be a groomsman.
Ah.
And the third one. I've not been asked to participate in any major way, but I am assuming that I get to officiate the wedding.
Ah, or be the organist?
Or I could be the organist.
I don't think... we're not doing an organist at ours. I think we're just going to have an iPod playing music through speakers. As far as I've heard.
You could do the Parks and Rec goof and just... put together a DJ Roomba. Just put a iPod on a Roomba.
Would that work for the actual wedding part?
Maybe not.
Probably just the reception. So that's
DJ Roomba is
what kind of tie though?
The, like, yeah. You know, I've got a couple of different ones. I've got one that's just a regular black tie that can go with most anything. You can't go wrong with a black tie. I've got like one that's kind of silver. I got one that's a shade of blue. I've got a bow tie. The bow tie is hard to pull off. You know, you got to go to the right occasion. It's it can be very awkward to wear the bow tie in a non-bow tie scenario.
Okay. I don't know if it's going to be like a really thin tie.
No. I wish, I've seen the thin tie. Thin ties are interesting. They're visually appealing to me. But I think the rule is you have to be a pretty thin guy to wear a thin tie. So I'm going with a regular tie.
All right.
You have to be like a gaunt, like a Daniel Faraday type.
Yes, I was wondering. Faraday. Faraday tie. Faraday. Okay.
Yes, but so macaroni and ties and chest.
Hotie noodles.
And Hotel Bates. Motel Bates?
Hotel Bates.
it's the higher class version of Motel Bates that actually airs on HBO.
The Bates Hilton.
but let's move forward to Bummer Patrol.
Oh, man!
Yes, yes, indeed. You thought it was gone forever, but here it is. It's returned, and it's back with a vengeance. It's got a thirst for blood. I don't know why. Hide your kids, hide your wife. The Bummer Patrol segment is here. I'm just going to keep saying things until Ben stops me. It's gone.
Usually you have to introduce me.
Okay, sorry. Yes, Bummer Patrol, where we talk about it's like the yin yang to the happy hours, the yin to the happy hours yang. That it's where we talk about things that are, I don't want to be negative. I don't want to say make us sad or bum us out, but things that we're less than thrilled about, let's just say.
Okay.
Ben, what is your
Is, oh crap, did I tell you what it was?
No, you never did. You said, wait, let me save it for the show.
Uh-oh.
This is a sweet, juicy nugget that I'm going to drop live on the air.
Uh-oh.
It's going to shock the minds of everyone.
Cow and chicken? That couldn't have been it. That might have been it.
Nope, that doesn't match the happy hour. You have to do, or maybe. Was it cow and chicken?
I mentioned that, but... Yeah, well, I don't know if I was going to talk about that during a Netflix pick. I like all the Cartoon Network shows except Cow and Chicken.
It's pretty bad.
It wasn't Cow and Chicken. I don't remember. You go first.
I don't, things are going far too well for me. I'm really struggling to come up with a Bummer Patrol. I'm digging deep. I'm looking, I'm doing some self-searching. I'm looking at my soul. I'm re-examining everything in my life. And the only thing I can come up with is the time that I went to have a delicious bowl of cereal for dinner. It was Rice Krispies, by far the best cereal. If you disagree, write in, and I will ignore it because you're wrong and I'm right.
I will write in, too.
I love a delicious Rice Krispie. It snaps, it crackles, it pops. It doesn't get too soggy too quickly. It's got a good crunch to it. It's got a semi-sweet flavor to it. Not like an overpowered, like frosted flavor like something a child would eat. This is a more sophisticated cereal for a more refined palate. It's Anyway, so I pour the bowl of Rice Krispies, I get my spoon, I'm ready to go. I open the fridge, no milk to be seen anywhere. I know. We've all been there. It's the worst. But before I briefly consider just eating some dry Rice Krispies, which would be incredibly sad. But I look in the fridge once more, and I notice there is a gallon, or a quart, I should say, of chocolate milk. So I hate to say it, but I poured the chocolate milk on the Rice Krispies.
What is wrong with that?
And I ate it. And I felt like a monster. I felt like some kind of outcast from society. This is not something a civilized person would do.
How? That's not that bad.
It tasted kind of gross.
That might be your cereal choice.
No, Rice Krispies.
With the mixture of the two. Some cereals might not be able to tell.
Well, I mean, an overly chocolate cereal, like a Count Chocula, perhaps, or a
Cocoa Pebbles?
Chocostein.
What?
Or a Choc Ghost.
Choc Ghost?
Creature of the Chocolate Lagoon Bites. You know, all
no.
the monster cereals.
No.
All the chocolate monster cereals.
Captain Chocolate Crunch. He's a monster.
Chocolate Monster Cereal. Photoshop Challenge.
Exactly. Add that to it. By Photoshop Challenge, we probably mean Neil Orange Peel.
Yeah. You know,
other ones are permitted because I enjoy seeing them.
Yep.
But his are always, like, insane.
His are always by far the best.
No offense, Brian.
No problem.
All the times that you've entered.
I know. I've never made it to the main page.
What was it? Oh, crap. I can't remember my Bumper Patrol because I'm going to have to go with Cow and Chicken. That wasn't it, though.
I remember you almost told me and you said, no.
Where was the conversation going?
You were talking about Prison Break. Is prison your Bumper Patrol? Are you being locked up?
I'm going to prison.
Wrongfully accused?
No. That's a good show, though. No, I guess it is just Cow and Chicken. Mm. I don't like that show.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's like, you know what Cow and Chicken is?
What?
It's like the poor man's Ren and Stimpy.
It is, except it's really, really terrible. All right, because recently we've reactivated our Netflix. And I was like, oh my god, did not know all these Cartoon Network shows were on here. And I got really excited, like, oh, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, it's a good show, shut up. And then other, like, even non-Netflix, I mean, not Cartoon Network, I didn't know, like, Fairly Odd Parents was on there.
No, neither did I.
But Foster's Home for Imaginary Kids is on there, and Johnny Bravo's on there, like, oh, Cow and Chicken, I remember that show. Ooh, Courage the Cowardly Dog! Well, we started to watch, like, one episode of each of those. Like, oh, yeah, this show's still good. Oh, Johnny Bravo's way better than it used to be. And then Cow and Chicken's just, what? Why?
Still terrible.
Why? No, I don't want this. I haven't removed it from my queue yet because it's there for, like, curiosity's sake.
Just if you're, you know, if you're hating yourself a lot someday and you just want your, you feel like you deserve to suffer, you could always queue up an episode of Cow and Chicken.
So this is my Netflix nicks of the day. Do not watch it.
Johnny Bravo, though.
Yes, do watch that.
And they used to be. Dexter's Lab holds up pretty well.
Powerpuff Girls, I still like it.
I haven't watched it. You know what I did watch? I watched the pilot episode of a show from Cartoon Network that I never watched before called Samurai Jack.
Oh, I remember people loving that show, but I didn't watch it, really.
I didn't know what the premise was. You know what the premise is?
I do not.
It's about a samurai.
Oh, what's his name?
You don't know his name.
Okay, it's not Jack, though.
A nameless samurai whose father defeated some kind of evil ancient being, but then the evil ancient being comes back, but the samurai guy was a kid when he came back, so he got sent away to train around the world and gets ready to slay this evil force, and then he comes back to slay the evil force in, you know, old Japan, and he's about to slay it, but then the monster evil force sends the samurai like a thousand, a few thousand. He sends him way into the future.
Ah.
And it's about a samurai in the future.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I never knew it had anything to do with the future.
Yeah, you know, it's about a samurai in the future.
Oh, sorry. I remember my Bumper Patrol.
Oh, good, because that. The whole thing with me just talking about some cartoon I watched one time was, frankly, just me stalling, hoping that you would come up with it.
Yeah, I've watched two episodes of Adventure Time. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that show's really good.
I plan to watch more. I liked it. Anyway, Bumper Patrol video game called Dead Space 3.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, you actually told me that's what it was going to be.
Yes, and see, you couldn't even remember. I did tell you. I didn't want to talk about it too much.
Just so forgettable. All
right, the first one, I thought it was okay. All right, the word dead is in it, so it has to be about some type of monster. Okay, that's probably good. I like that kind of game. Space,
If it were called Dead Fantasy World, you would have been way into it.
Or Dead Island. Dead Rising.
dead ship.
Left 4. Dead. Mm. I need to play Left 4 Tread again. That was a fun game. But anyway, Dead Space. So I was kind of halfway interested in the first one. It wasn't terrible. I thought it was not great because the whole thing took place in a single spaceship, and spaceship hallways all look the same to me after a while. And so I did not like it that much. I played 2 anyway just because it actually looked kind of good. And it was really good. Dead Space 2 was good, partly because it was technically in space, but it was mostly in a city in space.
A space city.
So I got to go to, like, a space cult church and, like, a space kindergarten classroom.
Go to the space post office and send off a space letter.
And I went to the space mall. And that really? One was cool. Yeah, there was a space mall.
Sounds pretty good. Space mall.
I liked that one. Space apartments.
Go to the space gap and buy a new pair of slacks.
You start in a space hospital.
Space slacks. You wake space up slacks. In a space hospital. It turns out that there's been a space zombie invasion.
Kind of. But that one was actually pretty cool. I liked the location. I actually liked the main character. And I was like, okay, I'm excited about 3. The third one comes out. I waited a while before I played it. I cannot play it co-op because I rented it. And I have to pay $5 for an online pass to play it with someone online.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes me mad.
Becoming a problem.
I do not like, because not everyone can always buy games.
It's true.
So I couldn't play it with someone if I wanted, or if I had someone who was playing it. So I started playing it by myself. And then there are missions you can't play. Like, in the storyline, though, there's, like, a door that says, sorry, can't go through unless you have another partner. Like, well, I'm missing out on a whole bunch of area over there. Why can't I go over there? But I can't. And then I play through. The game is not fun. I don't think it is.
Maybe the game's doing you a favor by cutting off these huge portions of not fun game. It's just getting you quicker to the end.
But the game seems like it'd be fun with a second player. We've discussed before how terrible games are actually fun co-op because you can make fun of the terribleness.
That is accurate. That is our pre-podcast conversation that we're having.
I've heard that's one of the reasons the Star Trek game isn't that bad co-op.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you want to play that, let me know. I'll rent it.
If I can find it, I will try, and we can try to play on that.
I get to be Spock.
I don't even know who the other person is.
That works out well for me, then.
I'll be other player. I'll be red shirt.
Non-Spock.
Oh, but all right. It starts off in 3 different spaceships. 4 if you have a co-op partner. And then you land on what's basically Hoth. All right. The load screens, there aren't normal load screens. There's you're stuck in this room waiting for a door to open load screens.
Oh, so they're not even being honest. They're not saying, like, oh, here, look at this graphic while we load the new part of the game. It's trying to deceive you. Like, oh, no, you're just taking this 45-second long elevator ride.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1. Well, Tomb Raider, I thought, did them well, because the load screens in that, it was usually you're going through some sort of cave, and it's actually kind of interesting. It makes you walk slowly because, like, it's, like, dangerous or something. This one, no, stand in room and wait. Take elevator and wait. Walk slowly through blinding snow so you can't even tell you're actually moving forward. Most of the time, it seems like it was made for 2 players, but they never, like, optimized it for 1. So I'll walk into a room, monster jumps out in front of me, monster jumps out literally on top of my head. Because no one is there to cover your back, you cannot stand anywhere. You have to keep moving, but you move really slowly when you're trying to shoot. And then, like, all right, sometimes I was in one room. One guy jumped out of a vent. I killed him. Another guy jumped out of the vent. They kept coming out one at a time for literally 7 guys.
Oh. Yeah, and you're telling me that's not enjoyable?
It was not. That was what's that? Shooting gallery. That's what it literally was. And I'm using literally. Ugh, the story isn't very good. This one's just like a horror movie where just people die off one at a time. Whereas, and 2, you're insane half the time and keep seeing things, so you don't know what's real and what's not. Made it interesting. This one is stupid, and everything's unfair and cheap, and you get hordes of, like 20 monsters all coming to you at once, and it's not possible to actually kill them all without getting hit once because you don't have a co-op partner. Sorry. I did not like that game. But I'm going to beat it because I want to know what happens at the end. Even though the story is not as good as 2. Plus it's in space some of the time.
Yes, I remember hearing that game did not review well when it was released, but
it does not play well either.
Mm.
Oh, wait, sorry, my least favorite thing about it, they're optional missions. I like to do them because sometimes they're more interesting. The first two kind of were interesting. The next two are the same as the first two location-wise, just you're going backwards to forwards. It's not the same location. It's supposed to be a totally different location that happens to have the exact same map and structure as the other way.
You know, it's there are only so many space architects out there that you probably just took some blueprints and flipped them over. Like, this is it.
But what's most crazy? All right, the thing is, they don't even change things enough. Like, all right, they'll occasionally change something that's on the wall or where like the blood splatter is, or spatter. Sorry. Like one of the interesting ones was, oh, people starved here. And, like, that's what the monsters are. They're, like, starved, undead versions of them. And there's, like, a freezer. We can tell they were locked in because when people were fighting, and they're, like, tally marks on the wall. And the other one has nothing to do with that. Tally marks on the wall. Same place, same freezer. All of the same unique rooms. Ugh.
That sounds pretty disappointing.
Like don't play it.
Like they're padding it out. I don't like any of those games, but I will definitely... especially avoid Dead Space 3.
But I do want to play The Evil Within.
Don't know what that is. Sounds made up.
There's a live-action trailer that came out, and it's made from the guy who originally started Resident Evil, and it looks like an actual survival horror, and it looks awesome.
Oh, no, that might be okay.
It looks good. Anyway, sorry.
So, I want to change my Bomber Patrol to Dead Space 3.
Yeah, thank you. Solidarity.
And
I'll say we all.
Video games in general. You can't reference Battlestar Galactica.
I've seen the first 2 seasons.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Knowledge.
Weddings. Spring. Love. True of. What is marriage? Webster's Dictionary defines marriage as the formal union of a man and a woman, typically recognized by law. Well, come on, Webster's Dictionary. Come on. I don't want you pushing your political agenda on me, Webster's Dictionary. I don't really...
Get with the times, Webster.
Come on, Webster. Come on, get it together.
Webster.
No. You know, you small black child from an 80s sitcom.
He's the one that writes all the dictionaries now.
Yep.
Do you think someone sells Webster's Dictionary? That's like a joke gift.
Just filled with things like, what you talking about?
Basically.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about Gary Coleman.
Bruce Willis?
What you talking about, Bruce Willis?
If you ever meet him, will you say that?
No, I think he would murder me if I did that.
I don't know.
Okay. Let me take a deep breath. Okay, all right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to just do a straightforward intro to this. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Wedding Casters portion of the program, where we're going to find out the latest and greatest news about Ben and his upcoming wedding. How's it coming, Ben?
I got a wedding dress.
Oh, my God. Don't let your wife see it before the wedding. It's bad luck.
That's what I heard. She's going to get her tuxedo fitted this summer.
I mean...
Oh, wait.
Fiance.
What's that kind of Cajun there? What a Cajun wedding.
You could just say fiance like the 10th Doctor would say.
I don't see.
Yeah.
But, no. Well, she got fitted for a dress and picked out the bridesmaids' dresses. I think at least one of them has been delivered.
Are the bridesmaid dresses like a ugly purple color?
No, I actually not really sure. I think they're tealish aquamarine-ish.
Okay, that's one of my favorite colors is tealish aquamarine.
That's a very specific color to have your favorite color.
It's actually not. I think ish is in there like 3 or 4 times, so it could be. it's a lot of elasticity to what that could be, but.
Well, it's still. That's one of the colors of the wedding. That's that, and I think silver I'm not totally sure. I kind of zone out when we get to that part of the conversation because I am indifferent. And well,
that's very classy or swaggy. Swaggy?
Swaggy? It's very swaggy.
Swaggy. Yes. Classy.
Pancakes. But she got the wedding dress, and I do not know anything about it other than that it is going to be white and that she has a veil.
And that it exists.
That it exists, yes. I know I have not been fitted for a tuxedo yet because I'll do that in the summer, and then I will let the groomsman and the best person man, you, the best Brian, and then you guys will do your thing. And then what else happened? We got like napkins and coasters or something.
Very exciting, very exciting.
And we still have to save the dates. I don't think that happened last time.
Oh, yeah. No, mine is on my fridge right now. It's very lovely. It's a fantastic design. I'm holding in my hand right now. That's not true. I just said that as I was walking toward it. I'm now holding in my hand. It's a very, very good cardstock, very thick. It's good quality choice there. It reads, "Would you kindly save the date, Megan and Ben, September 21st, 2013? And then if you turn it over, you see this lovely illustration of a guy from Fallout who I assume represents you.
Yes.
And a lady from Fallout who I assume represents your bride-to-be. And you are surrounded by various lovely popular culture nerd things that I assume that you both enjoy.
Yes, basically. And my sister, the new today, drew it for us. The card side with the people on it.
Really? That's
yes.
Looks very good. It's very, very well done. If you wanted it to look like, comically bad, you could have had me to do it. People would have gotten a good laugh out of it. It would have been stick figures. And people wouldn't have shown up at your wedding because they would have thought, oh, these people already have a child, and they had their child draw the save the date. That's what it would have looked like.
You can draw it for our honeymoon save the date, which I am just sending to Megan.
Okay, that's great. I'll work on that as soon as you get done recording.
I will send it to her. And she will decide to no longer get married. Just based on how my friends draw.
Gonna be that bad.
Oh wow.
Can I just list the things I'm seeing on this?
Yes.
Okay. Starting at the top and going clockwise, I see a mushroom from the Super Mario Brothers game.
I see trees of green. Red Ooh. Roses too.
I must have gotten an alternate invitation.
I'll stop singing. Not
save the date.
Oh, yeah. Invitations are coming out in a month or two, I think.
Okay. I got a very lovely invitation to a wedding from my friend Chris. I'll send you a picture. It's going to be hard to top, Ben, but I'm sure you can do it.
I didn't get one.
But you live in Arkansas. Would you have made the trip out?
I probably wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. Travel is not cheap.
Sorry.
I see a mushroom from Mario. Next to that, it's a mustache. I don't know what the mustache represents.
That's because Caitlin likes mustaches.
Okay, so that was for her. That was just for her. That's, that's a self-indulgent thing.
Yeah. It's like a signature.
And so I guess when you're getting this commissioned, she said, "I'll do it for free, but there's going to have to be a mustache somewhere on here."
Okay, you can do it.
And I assume that you had to talk her out of putting the mustache on either you or Megan, so.
I tried to get it on Megan.
That would have been kind of funny. She probably wouldn't have liked that very much, though.
Probably not.
Okay, I'm going to continue going down the list. I see a Pikmin from Pikmin.
Yes.
I see half of a Portal Man from Portal.
Yes.
I see a lightning bolt inside of a triangle with a circle. I'm not entirely sure about that one.
I think you're describing the Metroid.
Oh, yes.
Screw attack.
I've never played Metroid, so I do apologize.
Super Metroid is the best one.
Flowers from the Mario game. So Mario, well represented.
Yes.
I see a weighted companion cube from Portal.
Mm-hmm.
A Triforce from The Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
A leaf representing your lifelong commitment to veganism.
Animal Crossing.
Oh.
Animal lifelong Crossing. Commitment to Animal Crossing.
I see a puzzle piece from my all-time favorite game, Braid.
No, I thought you were going to say just jigsaw puzzles.
No.
Nope. Banjo-Kazooie.
Ooh.
But that's a fun game. But also Braid works, because they're both puzzle pieces.
I like the one where you build vehicles. That's fun.
Nuts and Bolts. That's pretty fun.
That's my favorite. I see the other half of a Portal Man. I see a Yoshi's Egg and the Batman symbol.
Yes.
So.
You've named them all.
Very good. Are there any like B tier things that didn't quite make the cut that you were really pushing for?
There was like the Assassin's Creed logo.
A box of macaroni.
Macaroni in a stocking.
A soggy, cheesy sock of macaroni.
Regis eating pancakes with David Caruso.
The main character from Dead Space 3.
Oh God, Isaac. Not Hayes.
Yeah, Isaac Hayes, the late and great music icon.
Also fought space zombies.
Little did we know.
Photoshop challenge. Isaac Hayes in Dead Space 3.
All right. I feel like we're intentionally making this impossible.
But that's what makes it better.
I mean, not just the execution, but just the weird and odd references being thrown out to... Dead Space 3 is a video game that not even I've played, but I think I can imagine what it looks like.
If you Google, you would be able to figure it out. Like, I'm sure you can get a picture off of Google, and that would work. Oh, but anyway, napkins and coasters have Scrabble references on them.
Nice.
I think Megan has – I think she's drawn her cake – on an art app to show what she wants it to look like. And I think it has Star Wars themes. Our cake topper has been ordered. And it is made. And they, Mom and Megan put it together. And it looks awesome. Lots of things happened.
Yeah, that you mentioned, I'm shocked to see that Star Wars not represented on your STD.
That's what I was calling it. A lot. I kept telling people I was going to mail them STDs. They're in the mail. Catch it! That's a Happy Cast thing, though. But you get free lasagna. Did we already know that part?
At the wedding, that's the meal?
No, before we're not feeding people at the wedding.
Okay.
At the wedding, people can have, like... crackers or like a piece of fruit or cake or something.
BYO lasagna at the wedding.
Yes, bring your own lasagna to the everyone bring lasagna.
And then as the bride and groom are making their way to the escape vehicle, we're gonna pelt them with lasagna.
I knew you were gonna say that. I was trying to beat you to it. Maybe you, since you and the other groomsmen and the bridesmaids get to decorate the car, do it with lasagna.
Smear it all
over the windshield, in the gas tank.
Yep. Just pour lasagna in the gas tank.
All over the chairs. The seats. Chairs. Car chairs.
You know, yeah, car chairs. Who? Yeah, come on. Everybody knows what a car chair is.
Anyway. You get lasagna for the rehearsal dinner, where you get to make your big speech.
Oh, yes! I lost my big speech.
What?
I lost my phone. My phone crashed, and I had it saved on my phone. And my phone crashed. I had to restore to a backup from 9 months ago, and my speech is completely gone.
Oh, you should have emailed it to yourself.
I should have. I think you might have it. I think I sent it to you as a text message.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm going to read.
I'll scroll through and eventually find it and send it to you.
Okay.
And then you can memorize it and give that toast right before we eat some lasagna.
I read it to a mutual friend. And
on Reddit?
I hate Reddit. I read it to a mutual friend, and I tried to convince him to let me give it at his wedding this Saturday, but he said no, but it would be lovely to save for Ben's wedding.
Is it our mutual friend?
Yes, our mutual friend.
Is it weird that we can keep making Lost references this long after it ended? Weird ones?
We spent so much time obsessively thinking about it. I think it would be weird if we just stopped.
Okay. Because if these are weird references to get. Oh, I just now got your video message on Skype, by the way.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's very timely, because I believe I sent it an hour ago.
Good job, Skype.
Yep, really, really killing it, Skype.
I'll watch it later. Just letting everyone else know.
You know, you don't have to. Nothing important. It's really me just being shocked that such a thing exists as leaving a video message on Skype.
After show.
The video message? It's going to be the after show?
Yep. Vidcast.
All right, cool.
I'll post it to our YouTube page.
Oh, yes. We have a YouTube page now?
I thought we did. I don't remember.
Yeah, I give you full permission to use the audio as an after show if you so choose.
We should post videos of Let's Plays, but it's actually just us watching a TV show.
I don't know what a Let's Play is.
Let's Plays are a thing on YouTube where someone plays a game and just comments over it while they're playing.
Oh, man. That sounds annoying.
Most of them are. There are a few really good ones with people who are funny.
Sounds like a thing that the video game website Giant Bomb does, but they call it a quick look.
Yeah, they call it something else, but it's the same thing.
But it's a Let's Play.
Well, some people do really boring ones where it's just a walkthrough with them talking. Other ones just do funny things.
The things they're saying, is it important to the game, or are they just playing, let's say, I'm looking around a room to see if I have a video game anywhere. They're playing Portal 2, and they're talking about what they're making for dinner. It's like, well,
usually,
no. My night to make dinner for my roommates. One of them's a vegetarian, so I can't make meatloaf.
No. Usually, well, at least not any of the good ones.
Okay.
The good ones, they're actually commenting on the game. And it's even better when it's a terrible game.
Ah, so, okay. It's like, all right, so it's Mystery Science Theater 3000 for video games.
Kind of, except usually it's not scripted in advance.
Oh.
So I guess it's kind of like if we played Call of Juarez again, but just recorded it. It's that.
Hey, man. I am offended at your accusation that Mystery Science Theater 3000 was pre-scripted. That man and that robot and that other robot and that third robot were all making that stuff up. we're all making that stuff up off the top of their heads.
No.
They had never even seen those movies before.
The first time watching, they come up with all those jokes.
They're that brilliant. I mean, the man, it's impressive, but the robots are programmed for that, so it's less impressive.
Yeah, they're supposed to. Yeah. I mean, they can think way faster than a human brain.
They understand
humor somehow.
Tom Sizemore, that's the name of my favorite robot from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Do I have more wedding stuff? I don't know. Do you have stuff? You have stuff.
I'm actually trying to remember what my favorite Mystery Science Theater 3000 guy is. Theater 3000. I do have stuff to talk about. Tom Servo.
Oh, I know that name.
I apologize to Tom Sizemore. He's not a robot on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I have no idea. I've watched it only a couple times at a friend's house.
It's fun. It's, goofy fun.
Bachelor party?
Yeah, maybe. It's your call.
What if, have they ever done a Mystery Science Theater of Mystery Science Theater?
I don't know. It sounds very meta. I'm sure it's been done by somebody, but I don't know if the actual people did that. I'll do it. I'll do some research after the show. Okay, so you finished. Yeah, no more wedding stuff. Is that
not that I can remember off the top of my head? Other than our latest foray into exercising to help get ready for the wedding is geocaching.
Now, I know exactly what geocaching is because I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm with it. I know what the kids are into, and I'm a trailblazer. I'm out there. I'm listening to Skrillex. I've got beans.
Is that a girl, by the way?
What, my character?
No, is Skrillex a girl?
I don't think so. Maybe.
I didn't know that, but then I thought I saw like two different GIFs, that had Skrillex and had like the same like female on it. So I was like, is that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know if Skrillex was actually a real person. I
thought Skrillex was a rapper.
No, they do dubstep.
See, something is wrong here. Oh no, it's not a girl. It's a guy with really long hair.
Thank you, Grandpa, for calling the guy with the really long hair girl.
That's... The GIF was blurry. I couldn't tell.
You know, Grillex. That's actually the new George Foreman light grill coming out, endorsed by Skrillex, the Grillex.
Does it play dubstep while your food cooks?
Yeah. Oh my God. When the heavy drop comes on, it's time to take your burger off.
Photoshop challenge, Grillex.
Grillex. I don't know. I was gonna make some kind of dumb joke.
Episode title.
I was gonna make a dumb joke about Banksy being Skrillex, but I'm done. I don't know.
All right.
It's actually a group of people, and they all play the role of Skrillex. You know, there's Fred Savage. He plays Skrillex on Mondays and Thursdays, but then on Tuesdays, Skrillex is played by Ed O'Neill from Modern Family.
I found something, but I don't know if it's real or if it's Photoshopped.
Okay.
If it's like a fake article. This says Skrillex opens Grillex, the first dubstep-themed food truck. But it's only one article, so I don't think it's real.
I hope it's real, but realistically, I'm sure it's not.
Also, Grillex is a portable Brazilian barbecue grill for indoor or outdoor use.
Skrillistically, I'm sure that's not real.
It's not just a grill, it's Grillex. That's what it says.
Grillex sounds like some kind of liquid cleaner you would spray on your grill to get the grime off.
We didn't do a sponsored by. Sponsored by Grillex.
That's right. This week's Heavycast is brought to you by Grillex.
Barbecue indoors without the smoke. Oh, did I talk about already that I went to a wedding expo?
No.
Oh, I went. Should I do geocaching? Geocaching. Treasure hunt with a GPS. Okay. So, I'll do a little more on that. Well, I learned about it years ago before smartphones like were something basically everyone has. Had.
Yeah, you know, even my iPhone has a BlackBerry.
Is it tasty?
Blackberries. Like all blackberries, it's kind of gross.
I don't like blackberries.
Nope.
Anyway, but I heard about it, and like you had to have a GPS and enter the coordinates. I'm like, I don't have a GPS. Most people I know don't have a GPS. So I just forgot about it for a while. Well, I discovered it recently, and I thought, wait a second, phones have GPS. So that's I was like, I'll check it out. There are several apps. Some of them are free. And people in the area go and hide something in a container somewhere and have the coordinates and put it in to whatever, and then you go find it.
Okay. Is there some kind of established protocol on what the item is?
Right, sometimes. Sometimes there's a piece of paper and everyone can write something different on it to show, hey, my name is this. I got here just now. Or you know, you want to just now because that's stupid. But you would put the time and date of when you found it. And you see everyone else is on there. But there's also one where it might be like a small item in there. And you bring a small item with you. You take that one. You put a new one in. And so it always changes up. And we went and did that. We walked into the nearby area went towards one. Looked all around. Couldn't find it anywhere. Then I looked online. Saw it was placed in 2008. So who knows if it's still there. But so we gave up and started walking to another one, but then we realized it was really hot outside, so we stopped. But anyway, wedding expo. It's been a long time.
I want to talk about the idea of antagonistic geocaching.
Uh-oh.
It's where you put something in there, but it's less of a hidden treasure, more of something that should stay buried forever. Like
anthrax?
No, not that dark.
Ancient Indian curse?
No. I was thinking more like the complete first season of Joey on DVD.
Oh my god. No, I still have that. I'm going to make you watch the entire season when you're here.
Oh, Ben, I hate to tell you this, but I can't make it to your wedding anymore because something suddenly came up.
You gifted it to me. I will help you enjoy the gift.
And that thing that suddenly came up is my standards on what is worth watching on DVD.
Not Joey. All right, how about at least the pilot?
I've seen the pilot. I thought it was okay. I'll watch it again.
See? All right, we'll watch the pilot then.
Okay, but Wedding Expo.
The Wexpo. We three. There were three of us. It was me. It was Megan. And it was her matron of honor. She hates that word, though, so mate of honor.
Do I get to be like a patron of honor? I'm like,
she is, because she's already married, so she's a matron.
Oh, curses! So if I get married before September 21st, do I get to be a thing?
You can be best gentleman.
Ooh, that sounds way better.
we'll call you that anyway. Best gentleman. Brian Happycast.
That's me.
That's your last. That's why we call it this. That's why it's called the Happy Cast.
Now we all know.
It's your last name. Pretty coincidental that Cast is in there.
Absolutely. One could argue that I was born to be a podcaster.
About happiness.
About happiness. And just the opposite of that.
Sadness. Bummers. Bumming. Bums. The Wexpo. All right, so the three of us went there. It started off, I'm going to call her maid of honor because that sounds better. She's like, oh, I have some place to surprise you to go this Saturday. And we're like, okay.
I didn't know what it was. Carnival.
You said you hoped it was a porta potty?
I hope it's a carnival.
Oh, carnival. I don't know why I heard porta potty. They are at the carnival. I assumed it was probably some sort of wedding expo, but I looked online and couldn't find it. And then we were driving to my grandparents' house. And then on the way there, on the side of the road, we saw, oh, hey, date and time, wedding expo in town. Well, I guess it's that. Well, we got there. It started off, the first room looked like a wedding reception room, which on purpose, I'm guessing. They had like a photo booth. There was no cake, but there were lots of chairs and stuff. There was a band playing extremely loud country music that we couldn't actually talk to each other because of it, which that part kind of sucked. That's all waiting for the whole place to open. So we were stuck in that room for like 45 minutes. And we all.
The entire time?
They played the entire time we were waiting.
That's great.
Well, so that part was terrible at first, but it got more awesome. Well, we also got to enter our names into a drawing that happened later on. Well, anyway, we went in. There were booths for everything, like spray tans, a limo service, stuff we aren't getting. Sorry, Brian, you're not riding in a limo.
You don't want to look orange at your wedding?
I do not. I don't want to be tan mom or tan guy.
It's not like a Willy Wonka-themed wedding, and you're the Oompa Loompas and the
freakish
guy.
Size Oompa Loompa.
The priest is dressed as Willy Wonka.
Oh, my God. That'd be an amazingly terrifying wedding.
He does the thing. You know the thing. The Willy Wonka thing.
The sarcasm face?
Where he walks down the aisle. Oh, he's okay. Real slow.
That would be an amazing wedding. Maybe Megan can do that when she walks in.
That would be great. Wouldn't that be the best entrance?
Right, I'm going to text her while we're talking.
You know, I don't know if this is a true story. I want to believe, like Fox Mulder, I want to believe that this is true. That I heard that Gene Wilder got sent the script for that movie, and he said he'd only do it if he could do the weird entrance and then the role thing.
I heard that too.
Okay, good.
Must
good.
Be true.
Must
two
be
people
true.
Verified.
It's been verified. So,
two independent sources.
I think mine was like somebody online, but
that's a source. Mine was probably also somebody else online. Might have been a cracked article. Anyway, well, the best part about it was like the four people or the four like booths that were about cake.
Ooh, different kinds of cake?
Different kinds of cake. Everyone had like, oh, try this cake. And like, oh, yeah. And everyone gave us cards, and we're not using any of those. We just wanted free cake. There was
Is this a wedding expo or is it heaven?
Well, it'd be heaven if there weren't like some of the other things that were there.
Okay.
Like the having to go up on stage later.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll get there. Sorry, this segment's a little bit longer than usual. But our podcasts always are. Well, so the cakes were awesome. We kept going by, telling everyone, yeah, we'll get the card. We signed up for all this random stuff. But we didn't win any of it, I don't think, but that's okay. The flower people were there. Lots of, hey, have your wedding here. Like, no. I mean, yeah, sure. We'll take free candy and delicious punch. And then, like, a couple people were there with, like, feeding you to show that you can cater with them. I'm like, yeah, I'll eat some. Nope, not catering, though, so free food. And then there was, like, the wedding dress place, which is, like, one of the main things in there, I assume. I didn't really know what anything was. I mean, I knew they were all dresses, and some were fluffy and some weren't. So Megan looked at those. I walked over by the tuxedos, and the guy started talking to us. I tried to convince Megan to let me have stuff like a cape and a top hat. Not like a magician cape, but like Batman's cape with the spikes, the spiky thing on the bottom, kind of.
Like a cowl?
Yeah, well, I want the cowl, too. I asked for the cowl. She said I can't.
Was that at the wedding expo, a groom's cowl?
Oh, no, it was not. That was a later conversation. My sister likes all the ideas of me having a top hat, cane, cowl, and cape.
I mean, I don't see why your fiancé would have a
fiancé
with an itchy like that, because it would make her look like she was marrying an eccentric billionaire.
Exactly. I told her she could dress like a Jedi if she wanted. Or like in Princess Leia, or like Galadriel's robes. But no. But anyway, we were like, and then, all right, after near the end of it, kind of, or I think it might have been the middle, I don't really know. There was a big thing where everyone walked over and sat by this stage where beforehand they had like some weird game where like men had, or like the grooms had to like wrap up their soon to be brides in like toilet paper or something. I don't know, weird games. We weren't a part of that. But later on, we all sat down because they were going to do the giveaways. But first came the fashion show for both genders. And it took forever.
The more you go into detail on the story, I'm beginning to wonder if this wedding expo, that's my audio finger quotes, wedding expo is actually a front for a swingers club.
Oh, what? How would you go there?
I don't know. The weird games threw me off. I don't know.
No, that's like games that like I've seen played in like youth group stuff before.
And before you came into the tent, you had to put your car keys
no.
in. It made sense at the time.
No. It was actually at a convention center that's near where the rodeo's usually held.
Oh.
But yeah, there was like a fashion show showing off brides' dresses and like then like bridesmaids' dresses and then groom stuff. And like a lady was making awkward comments occasionally.
Like in an intentionally funny way?
No. I think she was trying to be funny, but that's not why I thought they were funny.
Okay.
So unintentionally, intentionally funny, I guess.
It's not bad. It's better than unintentionally, intentionally unfunny.
Oh, that's true. But then it got to the point where, they're doing the games, and she would call out like five grooms' names out of the hat or whatever, and they had to play a game. And one of the games was like spin this. It was basically not Showcase Showdown.
Yeah.
It was the big wheel.
Blinko.
The big wheel right before Showcase Showdown.
Yodeling Mountain Climber.
That would be an amazing one. But no, we had to spin it twice and try to get closest to $1. And there was another game that I don't really remember because I didn't care. And the whole thing was to win, it was to win different things. Sometimes it was like a bunch of gift cards. But then my name eventually got called. And I was thinking, oh, God, did they say Ben Cobb? And that always happens. Everyone's like looking around. Did they say my name? Or does it sound like my name? But it was my name. So I had to go up there and I had to wait. And then I had to spin the wheel. And the first thing I got was like, I think I got like 20 or 30. Not bad for the first spin. Then I got 90. So I busted. But then, like, the fifth guy of the five of us won, and he won this giant grill.
Ooh.
Like, full-size, like, backyard patio grill.
Like a full-on Grill-X.
Yes, a giant Grill-X. But, I knew that was the prize, and I was so thankful I did not win it. We have no room for a giant grill, and neither of us grill.
You could have sold it.
Like, we could have. That was the one thing we would do. But we wouldn't know how to get it from where it was.
Could have sold it right there on the show floor.
Who wants the grill?
$20, right here, right now.
So I was so excited when I didn't win. And then, like, oh, we have prizes for you. Tiny grills.
Like a Foreman grill?
Not Foreman grill. Foreman grill?
Those are cool. Yes, an Eric Foreman, endorsed by, of course, the main character on That 70s Show.
Or House.
Eric Foreman's not the main character on House.
Yeah. Obviously the main one.
I really want to watch more of that show.
I do too. I wish it were on Netflix. We want to watch more sometime.
I think I jumped out after season 5.
It gets better. Especially some of the finales, and then the premieres after it are really good. Anyway, so we just gave the tiny girl to my mom. Because okay. We don't tiny girl.
As a lovely, thoughtful Mother's Day gift.
Oh crap, that's coming up.
Yep.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. This is for you. Mother's Day podcast. That works, right?
I think so. But do know, if this is the only thing you get her, you are officially the worst son ever.
Oh. All right, you get more than a podcast then. All right, well, in between, right before the brides got to go up, there was an even worse thing where, like, a couple or a few couples volunteered, and they did basically became I forgot what it's called, that game show that's always embarrassing to couples.
The Newlywed Game.
Yes, it was that, except, I guess, soon-to-be-wed game. And it was embarrassing. I am very glad they didn't call out names for that one. I don't know. But then the brides got to go. Megan never got called. But the last one was digging into a big cake to look for ping pong balls and, like, pearls or something. I don't know. We left with a big grill.
Sounds like at the end it turned into an episode of Double Dare.
Oh, I wish it were more like Double Dare. That would have been cool. Slime everywhere.
Mark Summers.
I remember that guy. Doesn't he do Food Network stuff still?
He does. I think he's on Good Eats.
Like, I thought you like talked about how you make candy or something.
How it's candied.
How it's candied.
I think he's on the Food Network. That's all I know.
Well, that's all I have.
Okay. Well, that was all very, very good stuff. I enjoyed the part where you went to a wedding expo.
The one where I went to a wedding expo.
Oh, is that the episode title?
No, I texted you the episode title.
Oh, I guess I haven't checked that yet.
You don't want to.
Oh, okay. I'll save it then.
Do you have anything new that you have done?
What have I been doing? I've been spending time outdoors. I've been taking up a little bit of hiking. Hiking is pretty great.
I like hiking whenever it's not super hot.
The weather has to be right. You're right. The heat really ruins a good hike.
Do it here. We have a good hike spot nearby.
Sounds like it's too hot. I don't know.
I don't know where. It's in a cave.
I got a haircut a couple weeks ago, and it's officially the only haircut I've ever gotten in my life that I'm happy with.
I'm just going to cut out that last part in editing.
It's officially the only haircut I've ever received in my life.
You have a really long hair.
So, I guess I should continue going to this... this person, this barber. It's not really the kind of place I want to go to. I don't know if this really exists outside of a movie, but I want to go to a place with the red and white pole outside. And it's, you know, it's the barber pole. And you go inside, it's an older guy. His name's like Bert or something like that.
Are you just talking about Barbershop, the movie?
No, I've never even seen that movie. And then you go in and, you know, you tell the guy like, oh, yeah, I want the usual, Bert. Just, you know, take care of it. And then he's got a comb that's inside some kind of mystery blue liquid. and he combs your hair, and he cuts your hair, and he talks about how things were back in the 60s. And maybe after you're done, he gives you a hot shave.
Wow. You've been watching too many media things.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that doesn't even exist in the world. But if
maybe
it did,
it does. It exists in Mayberry.
I would pay like I'd pay like $20 for that haircut.
I go to the same place over and over because she gets my hair the way I like it.
Does she do it really well? She does a good job.
She does. Very good. Exactly the way I like it. I don't even know what to call it for anyone else. So I usually just say, I don't say anything. I just show up and she's like, oh, this length? Yep.
This guy.
Not again.
She's running a monopoly on Ben haircuts. Everybody in town's trying to get some of that sweet, sweet Ben haircut money. But she's got it on lockdown.
You know when you go hiking? You should go geocaching.
I might look into it.
I think it's pretty fun. By the way, I asked Megan, and she just responded with, nope.
Oh, well, it's worth trying.
She never likes any of my wedding ideas. That was your wedding idea, but still.
What was the idea? I've actually forgotten.
Oh, we're Willy Wonka falling over as a roll?
Oh, that would have been the best.
That would have been the best wedding ever. Oh, well, I'm going to cancel it now.
What else have I been up to? Nothing good. Been up to no good.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
You watched The Shining?
I did. I've been watching
More than you do.
I've been going down a list of movies that seem culturally relevant or important or highly recommended. And I'm really making some pretty, pretty decent headway on this list. I've watched Beverly Hills Cop. It's pretty great. And The Shining. I guess I'll talk about The Shining for a second.
Yeah.
The movie is terrifying.
The book is, too.
The helicopter shot at the very beginning of The Shining is among the most visually interesting things ever committed to film.
I think they do that in something. That's just to be specific for you. There you go. They do it in something.
It's about alcoholism, right? That's the central theme of The Shining.
Yeah, well, it's not just supposed to be alcoholism. It's supposed to be a man who's mostly struggling with it, but mostly okay now, being corrupted by an evil presence.
Mm. Now, the thing, I enjoyed the movie a lot. It was incredibly well made. Don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but... that little kid was terrifying. But anyway, my one problem with the movie, and then later on I read that Stephen King actually didn't care for the film either because it apparently is not like his book at all very much.
Not quite.
Okay. But
was
he
the
had
mascot?
Who?
What was it? Was it the guy dressed up in the animal suit?
No, I forgot. That was so bizarre. I didn't even think about it again. Now. Are you sure that's not in the book? That seemed like a very
no. That might be. I think there's other stuff with like the bathtub lady and like the brain ring.
Oh yeah. Oh, the bathtub lady. Is that in the book?
Bathtub lady's in the book.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I never want to be near a bathtub again.
Just take that's Benjamin Franklin like those air baths he takes.
I've never heard of this. This sounds like the craziest thing ever.
Oh,
what?
Benjamin Franklin, where he would like stand naked in front of windows and let the air, like the wind, just rush over him to clean him.
I didn't know about this. This is new to me, and I think it's delightful. If true, you might be lying. And
no, he was a total perv too.
Okay, that I've heard that before. I've heard stories.
He liked old French ladies, who also got paid for it.
Oh, you mean like a real lady of the night?
Yes. Elderly ones, though.
Oh. The book. Okay, here's my problem with the book. Not the book. I didn't read the book. Books.
I read the book.
My problem with the movie.
Books are for listening, not for reading.
Exactly. Though, which reminds me, this episode of the HappyCast is brought to you by Audible.com. Just head to audible.com/HappyCast and receive your free book download.
Don't do it yet. We've never done that.
Oh, right. Sorry. One of these days, that Audible cash is going to come our way, and we're going to say, yep, and sign the check, and then sell out completely.
Get like 5 cents.
Yep, it'll be worth it. My integrity is worth 5 cents.
But we gotta split it in half.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a coin toss at that point.
You can have three.
Okay, I'm back in. But the movie, the thing about the movie is that you look at it and it's enjoyable, kids terrifying. It seems like it wants to be a story of corruption and how a good man descends into madness.
It's supposed to be.
But the thing about it is you've got Jack Nicholson playing the guy. So he just seems crazy at the get-go. At the starting line, he seems insane. His eyebrows are doing weird things. He's at the job. He's at the job interview. And they're talking about it. He's like, well, this sounds really great. I enjoyed the drive out here. It was so peaceful. And, you know, things are going real well. And the guy giving the interview says, oh, and there's one thing I have to tell you. You know, thought it'd be best if you heard it from me. The last guy in charge of watching the hotel over the winter, he kind of went crazy and murdered his entire family. Cut him up in little pieces. Put him in the corner. It was real nasty business. And we just thought you should know. And Jack Nicholson's character says, well, you don't have to worry about that happening with me. And in that moment, I was like, oh, my God, is he going to kill them right now in this room? Is he going to murder this guy?
Oh, God.
Because he seems insane from the get-go.
Listen to the audiobook.
Narrated by Jack Nicholson.
Oh, God.
Other than that, though.
It's been a long time since I've read it, but I liked it a lot when I read it. And it was creepy.
You were 5 years old at the time.
Gerald's Game. Do not recommend that one to most people. It is pretty messed up.
Is that a king?
It is.
Gerald's Game?
Gerald's Game. Pretty messed up.
Gerald is game?
It is the game of Gerald.
Oh, truly, this is a game of Gerald's.
Yes. And I do not want to talk about it here because it is not something I want to talk about ever again.
So not even off mic. We can't.
No, off mic's fine.
Oh, all right. On a scale of messed up, is it like Breaking Bad messed up, or is it closer to like Walking Dead game level of messed up?
Oh no, it's not like emotionally sad messed up. It's like This is a topic that I should not talk about on the podcast.
Oh man. I can just hear everybody frantically typing at Google right now. They want to know.
It's a My Little Pony fanfic.
Oh, God. No. Why, Stephen King? Why?
And he wrote it before, like, the new show was even on. So he did it before My Little Pony fanfics were popular.
It's bizarre. How bizarre. And I don't know. I guess I liked The Shining. And to close the segment, I will just say a few movies I aspire to watch one day. Jaws. Misery, Dirty Misery? Harry, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's it. That's all I got.
The Stand miniseries on Netflix.
Vanishing Point.
Con
Stephen
Air.
Stephen King is it.
Spoiler alert. He wants us to know that he is it. That is very long, but I still thought it was enjoyable.
It's about a clown, right?
It is. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah, the Shawshank Redemption.
You should watch that one.
I should actually watch that one.
It is.
Stand By Me.
The Green Mile.
I've seen The Green Mile. It's pretty good.
They're all Stephen King. Those three were.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I forget. The Stand By Me is based on Stephen King short story.
Yeah. And The Green Mile, it has the same director as the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, who also was the showrunner for the first season of The Walking Dead TV series.
I did not know that was that guy.
Frank Darabont.
Darabont.
I think he's doing Under the Dome now, right?
Oh, is he doing that?
No, is he? Maybe he's doing something else. I think he's doing that L.A. Noir show for TNT.
Is it based on L.A. Noir?
No. No.
Well, that is just lame.
I want to watch Army of Darkness, Lethal Weapon 2, Mad Max 2, Full Metal Jacket, stop me at any time, Bad News Bears,
Godzilla,
the Sundance Kid, Godzilla.
No, Godzilla is filming 2014, Frank Darabont.
Oh, is it?
He did the screenplay, apparently.
I don't know about all that. Rope. The Birds.
Bates Motel.
Vertigo. Three Men and a Little Lady. Because
Brian Cranston's in it.
Three Men and a Baby. He's in Godzilla?
Yes.
I'm on board. I'm
He's
on board.
Listed on here.
Girl Interrupted.
Speaking of Interrupted.
Okay, all right. We can
watch the Sandman series. And Prison Break.
The Royal Tenenbaums.
So, mail? Is that what we do?
It is time, once again, to check on the Blues Brothers. Mail. Sound.
The mail's here.
Oh, great. Thanks.
What's this? A letter for me.
The Big Lebowski. Annie Hall, The Thing.
Photoshop Challenge. Stephen King as It. And Bryan Cranston as Godzilla.
Sin City.
I like that movie.
I've actually already seen it. It's really good.
All right. Email.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Emails, part of the show where emails are read.
segment called Emails.
I'm feeling a little bit punchy.
Oh, not again.
It's like 4 a.m.
It is. That's what we get for talking a podcast length before we podcast.
We had to get all the really good stuff out of our system before we started recording.
The stuff that is too hot for air.
Just wait until our HBO special coming out this October.
Will be uncensored.
Real Happy Cast After Dark.
Raw with Happy Cast.
But until then, we should talk about emails. If you'd like to email the show, let us know how great we are, how funny and clever we are, or how disappointing the show's become, how you're really sad at the kind of people we've turned into.
And how long it is between episodes.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's also encouraged. Please shoot an email to happycastfeedback@gmail.com.
Yes. Or you can email us about how you are Miss Fizzbiz and you're very sad that you have to go to sleep when the podcast is happening. Because that happened.
What, like a year ago when we recorded this time?
I promised Ms. Fizzbiz that I would let her know when we're recording next in case she wanted to listen, and she had to sleep.
What kind of human being had to sleep at 4 a.m. in the morning? I can't believe that she wouldn't. She'd rather sleep than miss out on this podcasting gold that we're laying.
Oh, God. Consider yourself lucky, Fizzbiz.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, we have one email.
Yes, please send your email. We'll read it on the show, and it might sound a little something like this.
Oh, am I reading here?
Yes, you are.
Hi, chaps.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that we're finally getting an email from... listener Anne, right?
Yes. Oh, the one with the orangest of peels.
Oh, right. Neil Orange Peel.
Yes, listener Q. No, Neil Orange Peel. Hi, chaps. Hope you are both fine and dandy.
You know, listener Neil Orange Peel is actually at the front of the listener Q.
That's because Q is different words.
That's because in the land of Neil Orange Peel, that's what they call a line.
Ooh, also, you start using that here.
I think I agree.
Also,
I
the metric metric system.
I do agree. Oh, don't get crazy, you know, the metric system. Oh, hey, oh.
Gallons are complicated.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, soda is sold by the liter. I don't know why that's okay. Why did we?
Exactly.
Why can't we just buy a liter of milk?
Oh wow! Fill up the car, liters of milk.
Exactly.
Of petrol.
That would solve the gas price problem, as if we just sold gas sold, by the liter.
Sold milk instead. Oh, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Cars wouldn't go very far. Unless you fill it with lasagna, too. As the UK has been hit with lots of snow over the last 2 weeks or so.
The UK is well known for how snowy it is in May.
1st of May. Oh, Jonathan Colton. This feedback will consist of that fine British pastime of talking about the weather, except the weather from January 30th.
Oh, it's been that long?
It's been that long.
All right. Again, I...
Like a third of a year.
I'm deeply sorry, but, you know, that was our winter podcast. This is our spring podcast. And then look forward to our summer podcast in August.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then Bachelor Party podcast?
Absolutely, yes.
Woo!
Is that a thing?
No.
Okay.
I was actually thinking for some reason about How I Met Your Mother, but those were girls.
Yeah, Woo Girls.
Woo Girls. I need to watch that show.
You should. It's so good. Have you seen the episode where he meets
the mother?
Where they meet the mother.
No.
His
happy hour. His happy hour, or I'll say his words. My happy hour pick this time is rural community spirit. If it wasn't for the local farmers with their own machinery, clearing roads, then we would have been snowed in for the last 2 weeks in January.
Wow.
Who would think that, with the UK situated in Northern Europe, that we as a nation would be better prepared, or you would think this, that they would be better prepared for vast amounts of snowfall, but we aren't. So it's left to the goodwill of farmers and neighborhoods to dig themselves out, and they've done a pretty good job keeping everything moving. Pretty easy to get rid of snow in, like, April. Jeez.
Pushing the slush around.
Which brings me onto my bummer patrol. Working outside in 1.5 feet of snow. And if I were 7 years old, I would have been outside every single day, sledding, making snowmen, snowball fights, etc. But I'm not. So felling trees covered in snow in snow-filled woods does get tiresome very quickly. But my job does allow me to work outside in summer, too, so I guess it's swings and roundabouts. I'm not sure if you use that saying over there. I do not know the phrase swings and roundabouts.
I've never heard that until just now.
But this is the kind of thing that we want from you, Neil Orange Peel. British slang that we probably haven't heard of. Because I learned it and I'm going to start using it occasionally. See, I clicked it. It's a debut album by British dance duo Shanks and Bigfoot.
Oh.
I doubt that's what he's referencing. But
I'm a big fan of one of those.
Bigfoot?
I'm a big fan of Shanks and Bigfoot. Yes.
There was a good Bigfoot episode of Psych.
I don't think I've seen that one.
No, it's the newest season.
It's okay.
Bigfoot / Blair Witch.
Oh, it's a weird mashup.
The phrase means something that you say to describe a situation in which there are as many advantages as there are problems. Okay. That's interesting. But by the way, you sound really super manly, Neil Orange Peel. Felling trees in the winter. I'm going to assume you wear plaid and have a giant beard.
And a big blue ox.
Yes. Wait. That's an American thing, though.
Oh, right, right.
What's the better name for Paul Bunyan? A Britisher name.
Ooh, okay. Let me think. Wesley Appleton Smith.
Wyndham Price?
Wyndham Price. Hill. Church. Smith.
Bunyan.
Paul.
And then he sent us a Photoshop challenge, of which I remember very little, because it's been since January. He added, let's see, box of socks, fox locks, 12 best men, bride and groom in a DeLorean, and Darth Vader as a medieval dragon.
Yeah, I vaguely remember talking about some of that stuff.
It's so weird to watch this, or to look at this, not remembering what we talked about.
The bride and groom and the DeLorean, I do remember.
Yeah, I remember that part. And that still ended up as a no, apparently.
And then the 12 best men sounds familiar.
I see Steve Jobs, Doc Brown, Doctor Who, the newest one. There's Yoda coming out of a safe, I think. There's Stephen Hawking. Gandalf standing next to Locke. There's Bruce Willis. The Stephen King again. Is that Chevy Chase? Forrest Gump on a bench. Wow. There are a lot of socks. And that fox and some clocks and some locks and some Legos. Oh, blocks.
Legos. Sounds like he really did a fine job making a visual representation of what ever the last podcast was.
I will assume it was very accurate. Thank you, Neil.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
Leslie Nielsen, Orange Peel.
And that's the only email we have today, correct?
Yep. That's the only email we've gotten that wasn't spam
in the past January. 5 months.
Thanks, listeners.
Maybe we'd record more podcasts if we got more than one email.
If we got two, we were going to do one every week.
But we were going to switch to a daily format.
3 hours a day.
We were just going to have a live stream where we're always podcasting, and then whenever you want to listen, you can just pop in and listen to whatever we happen to be talking about.
That would be a good idea. Move here, we'll live in a mansion, and we will just podcast all the time. Podcast on a bagel. You can have podcasts anytime.
Seems financially irresponsible.
Oh, probably.
The mansion part. Yeah. But the rest of it sounds real solid and doable.
That's the podcast, though.
Yeah, we're done. We finished it.
That's we did it.
We did we could have went a little bit longer, but we ended up about, 45 minutes?
Really?
after editing, right? You're going to cut out all the boring parts.
Maybe like 10 minutes. All parts
where I'm talking.
No. I'll just mute myself, and it'll just be, and people can like talk to your audio one, your track.
That might work. And then we can have another feed that's just you, and then people can decide. I feel like I've said this before.
I think I have too.
Oh,
it all comes back around.
We're stuck in a time loop. But we should wrap it up.
That's it. I have to go watch Bates Motel and eat giant cookies.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the Happy Couch with Ben and Brian. Be sure to email us, and until next time, I would like to remind you to...
Catch it.
Yep.
Catch it.
Happy. It's the Happy Cast, where they talk about things that are happy. There's Ben and Brian and then the third person that only they can see. But sometimes there's also a ghost. Here comes the bride. And also the groom is also here. The bride is being marched down the aisle by her father. The groom is hungover from his bachelor party.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, no, that's the traditional wedding march song, right?